Jeremiah 23, verse number 5. And this is what it says. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. So I will assure you that I did not arrange this with Michaela before, because this is all about one of the names of God. Just one of the names. There are many names of God, but this is just one of them, and it is told in the last phrase of the last verse that we read. The Lord our righteousness. It doesn't necessarily come across this way in the translation to English, but in Hebrew, this is one of the names which shows the character of God, which shows who he is, which describes his nature. And in there is a couple of Hebrew words. One is Jehovah. We all know Jehovah. The last word is certainly one that is not familiar to most. It is another Hebrew word. I will probably not say it exactly the way it is. I will say it phonetically. It's called Tsidkenu. So okay, you don't have to worry about that. But you put them together, and it is the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu. And this represents who God is. One of the things. There's many other names that go along with God. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Nisi. We talked about the Lord our banner. And his banner over us is love. This is yet another one of those names. The Lord our righteousness. He's our righteousness. Now if I asked you, if I went up and I asked you, do you consider yourself to be righteous? Most of us would probably put on some face and say, no, not me, I'm not righteous. There's no way, I don't believe it. It's almost offensive to the mind. It's almost something that we would say, I can't say that. It sounds like there's a lack of humility even. It sounds like I'm thinking too highly of myself if I say that I am righteous. So it's almost something that we resist because we think that it is not good. But this tells us that it is the Lord who is our righteousness. This is not talking about the righteousness of Jesus, the righteousness of God. It is the Lord who is our righteousness. It is a display. It is a name that applies to what God has done for you and for me. It is a name that we can say we are the righteousness. We have been given God's righteousness because of his grace. Not because we're so good, not because we've done everything right, not because we've been free from sin, free from anger, free from all the little, as Song of Solomon says, all the little foxes which spoil the vine, all the little sins that might creep into your life and you didn't really realize it and it's there. We know that those come up and those are there. But nonetheless, the Bible tells us that the Lord himself is our righteousness. If we understand that and we get a hold of that and we stop looking at our outer self, this has the ability to really radically change how we act. Because once you start to realize this is who God has made me, you might actually start acting more like it. Rather than say, well, this is who I am. I've heard that so many times and probably you have too. This is who I am. This is how I respond. This is how I've always responded. This is the example that was in my house. This is the example of me growing up. And this is the way I am. This is who you are. If you've accepted Christ, if you've taken Christ as your Savior, this is who you are. The Lord is your righteousness. It's not you. It's not you at all. So you don't have to worry about about your head being too big or your ego being too swelled, because it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with Jesus. It has everything to do with Jesus and nothing to do with how good you are. Because it is the Lord who is our righteousness. This is part of the amazing thing that happened on the cross. We term it the great exchange. So many things happened on the cross. This is one of those things, that Jesus took all of our sin and He gave us all of His righteousness. Let me say that again, because that too is one of those things that just doesn't register. Our minds just want to fight it. Jesus took all of our sins, and we believe that, we know that. But He also gave us all of His righteousness. He gave us all of His goodness. He gave that to us. He took all of the bad and He gave us all of His good. And we will not be able to go through all the verses which confirm that, because they're all over the Bible. We can go through a few of them today, and over it will say, over and over the Bible will tell us that He's given us His righteousness. What an amazing God that we serve that would actually do that for us. He has traded and given His goodness for our badness. This is the great exchange. He's taken all of our unrighteousness and given us all of His righteousness. It's an example of grace. It's an example, yet another example of His grace which He's given to us. And remember, grace is something that's undeserved. This is one of those things. We don't deserve it. We didn't merit it. We didn't earn it. We didn't do enough good things to deserve it. We didn't do enough good things to merit it. But Jesus, because He loved us, God, because He loved us, just said, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you My righteousness. It's His grace. It's another benefit of His grace towards us. It's not because of you. It's not because of me. In and of ourselves, the Bible tells us that all our righteousness is filthy rags. That's what we can muster up. That on our best day is all that we can muster up. And God knows that. And part of having a relationship with God is that we must be in right standing with Him, and God knows that we can't do that on our own, so He says, I'm going to do it for you. He wants relationship with us so badly that he gives us what we need. He takes away all the obstacles to having a relationship with Him, and He knows that we can't do it by ourselves. That we can't come up with it by ourselves, and so He says, I'm going to do what they can't do so that we can have relationship with one another. That's what our God has done. That's what He is doing here. The Lord is our righteousness. And I know that it's hard to imagine, it's hard to believe, and very often our minds try and limit what that might mean. We try and make it more palatable to us. We try and say, God gave us His righteousness, but there must be some conditions. There must be some caveats that have to come into play. What if I have a bad day? What if I do something wrong? What if I do something wrong? Does it immediately go away? The Bible says the Lord is our righteousness. The Lord is our righteousness. And so we come to this place where we must decide, do we believe what the Bible says? Or do we say the Bible is not true in our lives? Because the Bible says this is who we are. This is what God has done. Not because of you. This is what He has done for you. He has given you His righteousness. And so we each come to a place where we say, do I believe that? Or Have I kind of dumbed it down a little bit so that I could see that it happens? It's really not as big of a deal because I see who I am. I look in the mirror and I review my day and I review my week, and I know that I'm not righteous. I know that I'm not righteous. I see what I do. And that part is all true. You can see what you do, and we do things wrong. We want to become more like Christ. We want to become more like our Lord and Savior each and every day. We want to leave behind bad habits. We want to leave behind old characteristics of ourselves. We want to leave behind all those things that we learned that aren't good. But in the middle of all of that, the Bible tells us that we are God's righteousness. How can this be? How can this be? Well, we'll turn to Ezekiel 36. We'll turn to Ezekiel 36, and there's a couple of verses in there which tell this. Ezekiel 36, and we're going to look at a couple of verses starting in verse number 25. Actually, verse number 26. Verse number 26. It says this: I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. See, God has changed us on the inside out. We often, as people, we look at the outside in. We look at what's happening on the outside. And that is, it's the easiest place to look because you see it, it's right there. You see other people and all that. But God says, I'm changing you from the inside out. I'm changing your heart. I'm giving you a new heart. This is another one of those verses where he said, I'm putting a new spirit in you. I'm changing your spirit. I'm changing who you are at your core. I'm changing who you are at the spirit level. And I'm going to be that. I'm going to change that spirit. And the Bible actually says in 1 Corinthians, it says that if you're joined, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. You're one spirit with the Lord. One spirit with the Lord. So of course you're righteous because God is righteous and your spirit is joined with Him as one. He's changed your heart. He's changed you from the inside out. Now very often we would like us to be changed on the outside as well. And so the Bible tells us that we're supposed to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We have that changed spirit because God has changed us. God has given us a new heart. And so that needs to be worked out into all the areas, all the things that you see. But God looks in you and He sees your right spirit because He's put it in you. He sees your right spirit and He says you are righteous. Not because of all the things that, it doesn't count that you've done things wrong. Your spirit is preserved. Remember, even in Ephesians, the Bible says He sealed you. He sealed you. He sealed you. And His Spirit has sealed you. It's kind of the picture of one of those airproof containers where once it's locked, nothing from the outside could get in and nothing from the inside could get out. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit until He comes back for the purchased, until He comes back for the redempted or redeemed product or redeemed. And so you have been sealed by God's Spirit. And this is how we know, and we have to believe it by faith because the Bible tells us. You believe that you've been saved by faith. You believe that you've been saved by faith. You believe many other promises and you act on many other promises of the Bible. Just because the Bible says it, you can't see that you're saved. You can't see that. You can't see where you're going. But we all know if we have accepted Christ, we all believe we're going to heaven. We all believe that we're saved because the Bible tells us. And now the Bible tells us that the Lord has given you His righteousness. And so we choose that we could either believe it or we choose that we could limit it in some way. If we choose to believe it, we will begin to act differently just because the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us this is who you are. You're not that old person. You're not that old man. You're not that person that you might see in the mirror. You're not that person in God's eyes. God sees you as righteous. He sees you as in right standing with Him because of the work that He did. The thing that we couldn't do, He did. The thing that we couldn't accomplish, He accomplished. In some small sense, have you ever heard of those fancy highfalutin restaurants where they require a tie or they require a suit jacket, and if you go there and you don't have the tie or you don't have the suit jacket, they will provide you one because they want you to come in, but they also don't lower their standard. They also just don't say, well, you could come on in, we don't care about our standard anymore. They meet the standard for you. And they say, sure, you could come in, but here's your clothing. Here's your clothing. We'll give you what you need so that you could come in. This is, in essence, what God is doing here as well. He knows He's not going to lower His standard, but He knows that you can't meet it, so He says, I'll give it to you. That way you could come on in. I'll clothe you in righteousness. And that way you could come in. And there are verses throughout the Bible which says, we've been clothed in righteousness. We've been clothed in righteousness. And that righteousness is not because of all the good things we do. You could do many good things and the Bible encourages you to do that. But you know your righteousness is not because of you. It's because God did it. He gave you His righteousness. He gave you His righteousness. I'm going to read something from Isaiah 61. Just because this concept is often so hard for us to get through our minds because it is so radical. Isaiah 61:10, it says this. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For He has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. He's given that to me. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, as a bride adorns herself with jewels. He's done it. He has covered us. He's given us His righteousness. He's clothed us. He's given us the jacket. He's given us the garments. And it was all because of what Jesus did. He has clothed us with His goodness because He wants us to draw close to Him. He wants us to draw close to Him. And He doesn't want any hindrances in the way. And so He knows what it takes and He says, I'll supply the need, I'll supply the requirement, I'll satisfy the requirement. Let them come. Let them come. Let them come as close as they want. There's one more verse, and we all know this verse. Many of us quote the first part of this verse in various situations. It's in Isaiah 54, and it's in verse 17. And worship team, if you would come up, we're almost done. So if you would make your way back up here. Isaiah 54, verse 17. We're going to read that. It says this. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. We all know that one, right? We all quote that one every once in a while. Everybody knows that. You might not know where it was found, but you probably have heard it. You've probably said it. If you haven't said it, you've probably heard somebody else say it. The next part of the verse says, every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me. It's not from them. It's not because of everything you've done. It's not because you've given so much money. It's not because you volunteered so much time. It's not because you do extra work at the office. It's not because you bring in donuts at the office. It's because the Lord has given you righteousness. Our righteousness is from Him. And if we start looking for this throughout the Bible, we'll find it all over the place. Because God wants us to know we're in right standing with Him because of Him. And it is a complete work, it is a total work, and it is a work that is God sized. It's not a work that is small. He has done it, He has completed it, and it is up to us whether we will believe it. Whether we will believe it. And when we take hold of it, You will start to act differently. When we get a hold of it, you will start to act differently because you realize this is who I am. This is who God has made me. This is what God has done for me. And so then the outward, the one that we all want to see change, the outward will start changing because we know who we are. We believe who we are on the inside. We believe this is who we are. This is who God has made me. His Spirit has changed my heart. My heart is new. My heart is brand new. My spirit is new. So I'm going to act different on the outside. It gives you the courage to do it. It gives you the excitement to do it. It gives you the ability to do it. And God's Holy Spirit in us is there to help us. Help us. He's our helper. Become more like Christ each and every day. He's our righteousness. Don't settle for less. Don't think you're any less. You're not any less than what the Bible tells you you are. Don't think highly of yourself. Don't put yourself up on a pedestal because of all your good deeds. This is what God has done. We take hold of the Bible like we take hold of all the other promises, and we hold on to it and say, if this is what God has done, if this is what He says, I believe it. And we sing that song that says, it settles it. This is what the Bible says, that settles it for me. This is what the Bible says of me, then that's who I am. It doesn't matter what that family member has told me. It doesn't matter what people around me or what this relative has told me. This is what God has said. This is what the Bible has said. And I choose to believe the Bible over all the things in this world. Because if God said it, let every man be a liar, but let God be true. You are righteousness, and the Lord is your righteousness. His name be praised.